How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currie, good morning to you. I hope you're not fake news.
Oh, well, you've just caught me trying to make a cup of coffee while you were...
We were babbling on.
Well, I'll focus on Rolene for about a minute. I think I can get the kettle on.
Okay, go.
Good morning.
So there we go.
What a week, guys.
You know, we were just saying this.
What did Rolene do? Sorry, I missed it.
No, she she obviously said something that one of our listeners disagreed with. And you know how it is. You know,
and from here on our end, she'll be fake.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Listen,
that's how the week has worked, actually.
But that is exactly how the week has worked, because it's just been too much. I found this week.
Do you think that we just hit saturation point and we just said, okay, like, tickets to this, guys, like, let's just blow up the world. Done.
It seems that. Or, no, so I came up with this theory, actually, that I mentioned on air, and I didn't even think about it. And then when I came home, I was discussing it with my wife, and that part of me feels that when COVID hit South Africa, our unity was tremendous. I'm still proud of South Africans. I don't care about all of the nonsense around it. I think South Africans have been phenomenal. America, the United States, never for one moment were unified. From the get-go, they were killing each other over this. It was divided into...
Since the 1800s, if we're being honest.
Sorry, say again?
Since the 1800s,
well, that's also
if
true.
We're being honest.
That's also true. But they didn't... Everything was divided along political lines. Everything was everything. There was no unity. So it's almost quite logical that this now happened there. That this just ripped them apart because it was and the signs were there. Even during COVID, where you've got this massive invisible force that needed to unite a nation, it didn't.
Absolutely it didn't. So, yeah. I mean, what you've just said is how I've spent my morning, at least the first 2 hours of my morning was analyzing American news headlines here in South Africa, you know. So let's start with the biggest story in the world, and that is not COVID-19. That is George Floyd. Most of us watched that video. Oh my God.
I couldn't actually. I kept trying. I couldn't. I actually couldn't.
I did. And you can't look away. You have to. You have to watch.
In the end, but it was just.
We couldn't breathe
too hard. Yeah.
When we watched that video.
That was my
response. He couldn't breathe and neither could we. You know, and my mind simply refused to comprehend what my eyes were seeing. And I couldn't make sense about it at all, because there was no sense to be made of it. But then the message came loud and clear. Then George Floyd started to matter. Every country in the world today knows his name. And if there's any sense to the story, that's it. The Globe took to the streets, largely peaceful protests. Like, this is the thing I don't get. Like, a lot of media manipulation, a lot of strange stories. There's been riot fairies out there who are dropping pallets of bricks around corners and stuff. And Tiva, who like wasn't even a thing till since the 1800, is now a thing. There's definitely some politics going on in there. I mean, we're used to it. You see, you say about South Africa, we were unified, but it's almost like we're, the old father of racism. And Bell Pottinger taught us very well how you can be manipulated to hate. You know, we've been
so
there. What I don't get, I mean, let me give you the stats first. 31 million articles about George Floyd, not Black Lives Matter, George Floyd. 23 million articles about COVID-19. That's how enormous his name alone is. Of course, enter Black Lives Matter, an old hashtag. We've seen this hashtag forever. And why is it, and insert expletives here, that every time Black Lives Matter comes onto the radar, all lives matter follow?
every time.
No, we've had this discussion this whole week. And yes, no one's arguing that all lives matter. We know that. But there are times that we just need to focus on what the actual issue is. And why is that so difficult?
It's like your house is on fire and you run out into the street and say, "Help, my house matters." Only to get the response, "My house matters too."
I love that. Mm-hmm.
And yours isn't burning.
Thank you. That is such an amazing way to explain
it. I'm sick of explaining it.
We haven't done it well. That's a good way of doing it.
Someone actually brought it to, so there's a story in the Bible where Jesus has 100 sheep and then the one goes missing and he leaves the 99 to chase the one.
Yes.
And it's not like the 99 don't matter, but clever. The other one is in danger.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. See? Yeah. So, I mean, you'd think during a time when all this chaos is erupting that there would be something presidential to come out of it. But what does he do, old Thumper Trumper? He turns off the lights at the White House, switches off social media for 4 hours. How scary is that? And climbs into his bunker. And then when the curfew passes, people are kneeling on the streets with policemen. These are images that I've watched. It's true. There was not a riot. He gives them this gift, tear gas and rubber bullets, so that he can walk out and raise a Bible above his head and his daughter walks around with a Prada Gucci handbag. I can't with this man anymore.
No, so he has been horrendous this week. I have to say that, and you and I often disagree on Trump, because there are times that I say, no, that he did well, and this, I am so appalled at how stupid he's been. Just from that point of view, it's 101. Yes. Identify the pain. Identify what people, just hear them.
Did you both go on a PR crisis course in your life?
It's absolutely.
Obviously not.
No, I don't think so.
But here's the thing, Hal, and this is, I don't lament Trump anymore because I'm sick of tired of lamenting Trump, okay? Here's the thing. America has started to dump Trump, like that's the call, dump Trump. So that means you got to give your vote to sleepy, creepy Joe. Okay? So the guy who can't stay awake in an interview and who
doesn't even know what day of the week it is, absolutely.
And has the most outrageous, you just gotta go Google Creepy Joe to see that the man is definitely not right with kids, okay?
Yeah.
So now you've gotta give your vote to this guy. How is it that in the largest democratic country in the world, they only have 2 70-year-olds as options? We had 100-something political parties. Not that we got it right, but how can there only be 2 boxes for you to dump your Americans in? Yeah. And that pun is intended. Sorry, I'm a bit angry with America.
Yeah. It was actually very interesting. And I'll tell you another fascinating thing. I told our listeners earlier this week, I spoke to a friend of mine in a very ultra-Orthodox community in New York. Now, they had been, in the past, they had some of the riots that had happened some years ago had happened through there. And I messaged him to find out what was, we were just chatting on WhatsApp, what was going on. And he said to me that obviously when all of this started, there was a certain amount of fear. He says, but I must tell you that the vast majority of the protests were peaceful, moving, and silent. He said it was an incredible thing to see the silence of the protesters and the power of the protesters. And that's something we're not necessarily seeing. We're so confused bombarded by so much.
We're not being shown. You've got to find it on social media.
We're talking about that. I think because that has less of an impact than somebody running down Fifth Avenue and smashing a window. That obviously is much more scary than just silence.
And the question is, how does it help political voting?
Yes.
You know, let's be frank here. I don't know if you saw Holland, Amsterdam streets.
Incredible.
They lay down on their stomachs, like filled the streets. And here's the thing is those people that went out to stand up and say Black Lives Matter risked their own lives. COVID-19 is real. They took to the streets en masse, risking their own lives to make their voices heard. And I salute that. I really do salute that. And you come here back at home. And, I mean, so the ANC has now started.
Oh, stop it with ANC.
A new anti-racism thing. Yeah. Which
like, I get. I was just going to say, it's like Eska marching against load shedding.
like, exactly. You nailed it. I wish I'd used that. Because that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So let's be fair here. Firstly, we have Uncle Kathy. Okay?
Yeah.
We have the icon of anti-racism network. We have an anti-racism network, guys. I belong to it.
Yeah.
We have an app that for you to report racist behavior. We're so far ahead of whatever the ANC put together yesterday. Like, it irritated me only because I thought that, you know what? Yes.
No, because it's jumping on the bandwagon. But
please don't jump on a bandwagon that we already own. We own a bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know? And then, so I turn to other news, and then I see on Al Jazeera a Palestinian killed on the way to school.
Yeah.
And it made me start thinking about brown lives. Okay? Libyan slave trade.
Yeah.
Let's start there. What about Rohingya? What about the Syrian refugees? About Yemen?
I mean, China stands up and says America must listen to the black community, Black Lives Matter. Excuse me? Excuse me? 1.1 million Muslims are in camps. What are we talking about?
So can we, we have these, which discourages me, because at the time, we have this rage for the hidden Muslims, and then it disappears. And we're going to do the same here with George Floyd. And that makes me sad. makes me sad, because racism is endemic, and to such a point that racism is our pandemic. It's bigger than any invisible virus, guys. And it's been here forever.
So it's interesting.
Seem to get further.
Well, I'll tell you that again, it's the South African-American thing. We lived in the United States, and I was telling our listeners earlier this week, is I found in the white suburbs that we were living in, that the level of racism that functions just beneath the surface, and maybe not even beneath the surface, is so horrific that it was very hard to stomach. And we would always, my wife and I would always chat about it, and we came to the conclusion that in South Africa we understand racism because we understand where the logical conclusion of a prejudice against somebody else goes. Right. It lands up being an apartheid or being some kind of, but in the United States, I'm not quite sure that they've integrated that. They don't really have it because they consider themselves to be above that sort of thing, but that means they don't call it. So they can sit at their tables and they can refer to other racial groups in a negative way. And their children are now being educated by that type of language.
In the same way. And so it goes on.
Because they don't realize it. Whereas I don't know the last time that I sat at a South African table and heard somebody, maybe the older generation where don't quite know how to deal with them. But our contemporaries, you never hear it. You never hear.
Let's make some precedent. Sorry.
Exactly. Our generation, you don't hear racist talk, which means our kids don't hear it. So we understand it. We get it. And I think the Americans haven't got it. They don't get it.
Well, I was actually saying to my sister because, I always look at my nephew and niece and Rule, my nephew, will not be his generation. Let's hope most of his generation are not going to know this stuff. They'll read it, but they won't live it, inshallah, I hope anyway.
Yes.
Like you see, we spent almost the whole session talking about international media, right? And when it comes to home, I actually don't know what on earth is going on.
All right, you've got 5 minutes. Explain it.
Lockdown level 3 and level 4 was declared unconstitutional, but we've already...
Time is 8:27. Tanya Currie, are you back?
I am back. It was OECD that interrupted us. That debt collection
agency. Oh, righty.
Okay, so day 71 of lockdown. And apparently it's unconstitutional, but we're on day 71 nonetheless. And then Minister Ntembo came right out and said the state of disaster has been extended to July 15th. Please tell me what that means.
Yeah, we don't understand. Actually, we don't understand.
So they had said, because it was supposed to end on the 14th of June, and they had said that they're giving Gosas and Dlamini Zuma 14 days from the judgment date to amend the regulations. They said that if it ends on the 14th of June, it means that it comes before the deadline for Gosas and Dlamini to amend the regulations. So if it was ending on the, so if it was ending on the 14th of June, there'd be no need for her to amend them because the national state of disaster is not there anymore. So it means that now, because they've extended, she would have to amend the regulations.
Okay, I'd love to say that made sense and that's a good point, but then it didn't. But thank you, that's the most I've got out of anybody to put to today. The president also signed in three new laws yesterday. One had something to do with IPIB and the other about political funding. I didn't keep up, sorry. And then alcohol. We're a nation of boozers.
Very concerning. I spoke to a friend at the Johannesburg Gen earlier this week. That it's a and he said Monday night, Tuesday was with regard to trauma after alcohol was lifted, the ban was like New Year's Day. He said it was horrific at the Gen. Horrific.
And then, of course, Minister Stele comes out and shouts at us like we're naughty children. But I think he's living in a dream world if he thinks we have a different South Africa. It's exactly the same South Africa. You just put a prohibition on those people, and now they don't have food either. So you're looking at a bigger time bomb than you ever had. We've run out of time, so I'm so sad. But I want to end with? Let's end with the cigarettes, because I'm going to have to ask the audience on this one.
Yes.
So Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma had to file an affidavit, which he did, I believe, late and not very good, but filed nonetheless, right? But then she didn't respond to court.
Is that
just a level of arrogance, did she miss the memo?
No, it's arrogance. It's because it actually just simply doesn't apply.
And then did Mazzotti come out and tell us that he's a good oak?
Yeah. No, because we live completely in an alternative universe. Yeah, look, sometimes I'm happier in our own universe. I'd rather be here than other places, but still, it's just quite unbelievable.
Well, let me close with this. I wanted to find something positive. There wasn't anything, so I'm going to be motivational this morning. There is a narrative in South Africa for COVID-19, and that is the hashtag change your behavior. And this extends to every aspect of this week's report.
I like that.
Change everyone's behavior. Just yours. Not everyone's, just yours. Please.
Love that. What a great message. Absolutely awesome, Tanya Curry. Thank you.